Fantastic. Someone came up this morning and said that they felt that God had got a word about sacrifices, and that they gave a picture of an altar with oil over it. And the person was kind of saying, well, I don't really know what that means. And I said to him, well, it probably has to do with what I'm going to be speaking about today, which is Romans chapter 12, living sacrifices. And so obviously the Holy Spirit is moving, and he was just picking up on the theme of what this morning is about. But his word was about that, you know, our lives really need to be, or that we need to be engaging with God this morning. And that was the word that he came to bring, and an encouragement that he came to bring. But I thought it was interesting that, you know, that that the Holy Spirit was obviously moving, and was just bringing to mind about the subject this morning. I want to read Romans chapter 12 to you. It's a fantastic chapter. So much in it that to kind of try and do it any justice over a few minutes is almost impossible. Anyway, I want to read it to you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, this is Romans chapter 12, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. As a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Wow. Okay. Do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of a low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, and as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So I've entitled my message this morning, Total Surrender to God. And as we look, and as we've been looking, it's been so interesting just to week upon week to kind of just see the teaching and what Paul has been building upon. Upon so many different facets of God's nature, on his plans for us, on his plans for Israel, just revealing things, what it means to be justified by God, and so many amazing truths that God has been speaking through Paul in the book of Romans. And it's been fantastic to kind of just see how that Paul's been layering up and building upon the former kind of things he's been, the arguments that he's been putting forward in the previous chapters. And he says here, well, we read in chapter 11, and where we were looking at, even though Israel rebelled, and even though Israel failed God, and even though Israel turned away from God, and they worshipped other idols and other gods, God still said to them, you are my chosen people, and I love you, and I'm never going to give up on you. And you know, as I was reading that, I was thinking, that's what God's saying to us. The message is still the same. He's saying to his church, and he's saying to you, you're my chosen people. He's saying that I love you, and he's saying I will never give up. Even when we do wrong things, even when we give up on him, he always is faithful. And God has got great plans for you and for me. You know, it's just our responsibility to kind of just, in one way, get with the program. To hear what God is saying by His Spirit and just cooperate with Him. You know, God doesn't cooperate with us. I mean, He's sovereign. He's God. He has a plan. He's a purpose. He's working to bring all things together so that there's a culmination of when Jesus comes back. And we need to understand that we need to partner with Him. God doesn't partner with us in that respect. So the message is the same. You're my people. I love you. I've chosen. There's a place for you. You're of significance. God continually, it echoes all the time. God is continually saying that to His people. He always has done, and He always will say that. Romans 11 was reminding us that ultimately God is sovereign, that He's working all things through all people to bring about His kingdom purposes. And so now we come to the beginning of chapter 12, and Paul starts Romans chapter 12, and he says, therefore, it's a bit loud in here, isn't it? I'm getting excited. Therefore, he says, therefore, in the light of all that has been revealed, in the light of all the things that I've been talking about, in the light of the goodness of God, in the light of the faithfulness of God, in the light of the mercy of God, in the light of the unchanging and unswerving character of God, in the light of all that, in all that I've told you about, in the light of everything that Israel, but still God's still coming through and saying, I love you, in the light of all that, in the light of the freedom that has been won for you, now, in the light of all that, in all that you know, now live differently. And God says, now live as though you believe it. You know, how many of us know the concepts about what it means to be a Christian, and we know salvation, but how often are we actually really living as though we believe what the Bible says? How many of us are actually living by what the Word of God says is possible for us? Probably most of us. And yes, to some degree, all of us have got more and more that we can grow into. But he says, in the light of everything that I've taught you, now live like Christians. Live like you believe it. Live as living sacrifices. And so he says there in verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy. Wow. He says, think about, consider the grace. Consider salvation. Consider the free gift of God's gift to you. Consider the riches that has been released from God into your life. Just this morning, think about it. Think about who you are and what you've become. Think about what you would be like if you didn't have Jesus. Perhaps some of you here wouldn't even be alive today if it wasn't for God. Consider, think about, rejoice, remember, forget not all His benefits. Forget not what God has made you and who you've become today. And he says, remember that, consider all that you have. And so I want you to do that today. Thank you. As one, Colin is alive. Yeah. You know, we don't deserve anything. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve mercy. We don't deserve forgiveness. We don't actually deserve anything. But because of God's grace, love, and because he says, when we repent and give our lives to him, you're my son, you're my daughter, he gives us that free gift of relationship with him. And it's all because it comes through Jesus. You know, and so live differently, he says. Live and know that everything that we've got is nothing because of what we've earned. Everything comes back to Jesus. And remember that we are dependent upon him. You know, I think Paul is trying to bring us back to focus us again upon our reliance and our dependence upon and the need of who Jesus is. And that's not a bad place to be. Having a rooted and an understanding that we need God is a place of strength, not weakness. And God wants us to live like that. In Romans chapter 11, there was much in there about Israel and how they tried to earn the favor of God through sacrifices and through religious rituals. And it says that they didn't obtain what God had for them. And so it's interesting after listening or reading in Romans chapter 11 when Paul talks about the sacrifices, that their sacrifices alone weren't good enough to please God, that he then goes on to talk about living sacrifices in the end of verse 1. Offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And I guess the idea of a living sacrifice would have been strange to the people that were reading this, because we've had a couple of thousand years to kind of just, you know, digest this. Living sacrifices, that's a strange kind of concept, isn't it? I mean, it must have been to them. It was as though, as I was thinking about this, in the light of the Jewish nation trying to earn their way to God and bring their offerings to God and try and in some way win the favor of God, I felt that God was saying to us, it's like we don't bring your offering, but you yourselves be the offering. Don't give an offering as such, because actually it doesn't cost very much to give an offering, but actually it costs everything to be the offering. And this is what he's talking about here. He's talking about living sacrifices, total surrender to God. You know, I've got a friend, and he said this several times. He says, there's no such thing as Christianity light. You know, you can have light this and light Coke and light beer and or whatever it is, light. There's no such thing as Christianity light. It's total surrender and total sacrifice, total of giving ourselves to God. This is what, not my words, this is what the Word of God says. It's bringing everything to God, not just our time or our money, because it's interesting, he says, present your bodies as living sacrifices. So he's not saying it's okay just to bring your money, or it's okay to bring your time. Present your bodies, all that you are, everything that you're about. Give everything to God and service of God. And what I found interesting as well is that he isn't writing to leaders, he's not addressing a leaders' conference. He's not addressing the religious elite. These are special people that are going to go and lead others, so I'm going to put something, you know, an extraordinary high calling upon. He's saying just to the normal people, live as living, present your bodies as living sacrifices. Just to the normal people, just like you and me. It's amazing, isn't it? That's not just for the special people. This is not just for an elite group. This is what he says is normal. Can you all say normal? Just turn to the person next to you and just look at them, smile, say normal. This is the, you know, whenever you do that in England, everyone goes, oh, it's so embarrassing, just asking me to. Oh. This is the normal. This is not the abnormal. This is not the exception. This is the normal Christian life. Sold out, 100%, going for God. I'm going to give my everything, not just my money or my time, but I'm going to give my all that I'm about. I'm going to give it to God, because this is what God says being a true, normal, genuine, authentic Christian is. And I'm saying, yes, God, let that be the case for my life, and let it be the case for us in our church here, and for you guys. God is so committed to you that he doesn't want to leave you as you are. He wants to impact your whole life. He wants to change everything. He wants to change the way that we behave, the way that we speak. He wants to change our relationships. He wants to help you. He wants to transform you. He wants to strengthen you. And you know why he wants to do it? So that you can bear fruit. Do you know that you are people that are destined to bear fruit? Everyone do like this. I didn't know that, but I know now. You are destined to bear fruit. You weren't born again just to come to church and sit in a seat and observe and hold up the scorecard. Steve did a 3 out of 10 today, or that isn't what you are here. Not for your own convenience. You're not here today even because of you. We're here because of what God wants to do. And so many times we make church about what we want and our own preference and our own likes and dislikes. But it actually, church isn't for us. You know, you've heard people say that the church is the only organization that exists for the benefit of its non-members. That's why we're here. We are here so that we can impact Horsham, just as George was saying. We're here so that people can come in and be involved in the dynamic work of what God's doing. That's why we exist. And we need to understand that. And, you know, it's in verse 2 there. Don't worry, I'm not going to go all the way through because I'm only at the end of verse 1. But verse 2 says, do not conform. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't fit in. Stand out. Live differently. Be passionate for God. You know, I think sometimes, if we're honest, we get into difficulties in our Christian life when we don't live totally sold out for God. I think sometimes we get into difficulties in our Christian life when we've got one foot in the world and we've got one foot trying to follow God. If we're honest, or maybe I'm the only one. I'm the only one, thank you, yeah. Sometimes we get into difficulties because we're trying to live in two camps. We're undecided, or sometimes that we're easily swayed, or sometimes we're just jumping from one to another. God says, present your bodies as living sacrifices. In other words, he's saying, stop compromising. Don't settle for second best. Burn with my heart's passion for the world. Fellowship with my spirit so that you can be people that are led by the spirit, not by the flesh. Live differently, he's saying. John 15 verse 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. And you know, in the natural world, fruit comes when a seed goes into the ground and that seed dies. And then that seed bears fruit. It says that in John 12, verse 24. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces much seed. Now, do you know what this is? Ali's probably looking at me totally shocked because these are yours, my darling. So I'm sorry that I stole them. This is a packet of seeds. And when you have a packet of seeds, when you go to, for those of you that do gardening, you gardeners here know that you don't have to tell the seeds what to do. I don't have to speak to these seeds and say, right, your mission is to be planted into the ground, and then you are dwarf French beans. Very nice. Your mission is to bear fruit. So go for it. Do we do that? You're a troublemaker. You're going to come on the front like that. What do we do? We take the seed, we put it in the ground, and it knows what to do, doesn't it? It goes into the ground and it starts to bear what? Beans or fruit, yes. You two, I'm watching, okay. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You know, you are born again to bear fruit. You're born again to be fruitful, to multiply the life of who Jesus is. And God wants to use you to multiply the life and the spirit of Jesus. And there's a mission in that. You know, the gospel is worth dying for. And I mean that literally, but kind of metaphorically as well, to give up everything for. Chris and I were at a conference this last week, and we met a great guy who's doing a fantastic work in South Africa. He's an English guy who's gone to South Africa and is working with street kids, and he gave this most amazing presentation about what he's doing with these young children. And fantastic! He's making such a massive difference. He's a surfer, and I won't go into it all, but he's doing a great job. He's given up everything to go and do that. But you know what? He's not a Christian. I don't think he's a Christian. But he's found a cause that he would give everything to go and do. And he's doing a fantastic job. But you know, the cause of the gospel and to live for the gospel and to share the gospel and to reproduce the life of the gospel is more important than even that very wonderful work that guy is doing. You've been given a mission and a calling and a mandate. You've been given something from God to go and reproduce the life of God. But you know, we read in there's some really challenging things in there, and it says, you know, things like bless those who persecute you. You know, you can't live like that unless you are presenting yourselves as a living sacrifice. It is impossible to do it. You know, you might in your own strength try to do that and you think, oh, it just doesn't work. You know why it doesn't work? Is because a life like that comes from a life of totally surrendering to the Spirit of God. There's no kind of just, well, half-heartedness or I want to live like that. If you truly want to live like Romans 12 says that we can live, then we have to jump in to the fullness of surrender that God says that he wants for us. Is this good news? It is good news. Okay, verse 3 to 5, Paul says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Ah! Dying to self again. Why? Why? You know, it can be easy, can't it? Sometimes for us to compare ourselves with other people. Sometimes we look at gifted people and say, oh, I wish I'd be like them. We see people and I do that, and I'll be honest with you, I look at people and I think, man, am I ever really going to be a tiny bit like that? You see gifting, don't you? And you think, wow, I love that. But sometimes we're the ones that are with gifts, and we can be proud sometimes. Sometimes we can have gifts from God, and we can be the ones that are confident in our giftings. You know, we must resist being proud. And I want to say also, you are, every single one of you is so loved by God. There is not another you. Roger, there is not another you. Absolutely. Amen. Every single one of you, there is not another you. You are unique. You're special. So, you know, the Bible says that you've been given a spirit of love and a power and what? A sound mind. You've not been given a spirit of inferiority. Be yourself in God. Be confident in who God has made you. Live with the full of the passion, the fire of God. Don't let others intimidate you. Be secure in the love that God has for you. But it's interesting that actually the Bible here says that the main problem isn't people thinking too highly of themselves. But according to here, it's sometimes it can be pride. And quite often for a lot of us, pride is one of those things that can be very, can just be lurking there quietly. I'm not affected by that. But someone says something to us, or something does something, or a situation comes up, and this thing rises up. Live. Present your bodies as living sacrifices. living sacrifices to God. You know, we can talk about total dedication, but I want to ask you, how are you living right now? How's your life now? How are you living? You know, I know that God wants to celebrate all that we've done and what he's done in our lives in the past, but God doesn't want us to live in the yesterday. God has got accomplishments, he's got victories, he's got things to take you into, he's got great things he wants to use you for today, tomorrow, next month, next year. He wants to use you because he wants you to bear what? You're wonderful people. Well done. He wants you to bear fruit. It says there in verses 6 to 8, talking about spiritual gifts. And it says that he wants us to use our gifts. Anybody gifted? Everyone just put up your hand. I'm not going to ask you. I just want every one of you. Everyone, could you please put up your hand? Every single one of you is gifted of God. You can put your hands down. And you're gifted. You've got a gift from God. There's a calling of God upon your life. You have something to contribute. Every single one of you here. And it says that all of those individuals need to contribute into the body so the body can function properly. But you know, we can't talk about saying that, yeah, I'm presenting my body as a living sacrifice, but I don't like the church. I'm not talking about our church. People say that. I'm a Christian, but I don't love the church. You know, you can't love Jesus and not love the church. Because the church is his bride. Jesus is coming back for his church. You can't say, yes, I am going to live as a living sacrifice. I am totally devoted to God, yet I don't want to be involved in a ministry in the church, or I don't want to serve. I just want to be. You've all gone very quiet. You see, it's not about getting everybody busy and just using up every conceivable waking moment and just getting you into meetings. It's not about that. It's about releasing people in their giftings so that you can be fruitful. And if you love God, you will want to serve God. And it's amazing when people say, what can I do? How can I help? Give me something to do. Give me a job. You know, if each and every one of us was like that, we would see amazing things happening. And so God needs you, every single one of you, functioning in your gift. And you know, sometimes until we actually serve, we don't even know what our giftings are. Because you can be sitting there thinking, actually, I don't really know what I'm not really a preacher, I'm not really a teacher, I don't know. Start serving. Start offering to help. You may be the world's best youth worker or children's worker. You may be the world's best toilet cleaner. You don't know what your gifting is until you actually offer it and start to operate in it. I'm quite happy to go and clean toilets to the glory of God. Bring it on. Why not? So he says, if verse 7, if it's hospitality, then be hospitable. I'm going to close just with this. If it's cleaning the toilets, yeah, if it's welcoming people, if it's putting out the chairs, if it's children's work, if it's preaching, if it's worship leading, if it's being a leader in the church, do it well, do it with joy, do it with thanksgiving in your heart. And don't do it for man's recognition. Do it because you want to serve God and you want God to say, yes, well done, good and faithful servant. So it's for God's recognition. You know, how amazing is that when you hear God speak to you? And say, I'm pleased with you. Well done. Doesn't matter what other people think, what other people say. When you hear God endorse you. And that's what we do it for, isn't it? I hope you're not doing it. I hope you're not waiting for me to endorse you. And I will do that as much as I can. But first and foremost, we do it because we want to serve God and we want his blessing and his favor. Verse quickly, verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. So don't say one thing and do the other. Let's cooperate with the work of the Spirit rather than against him. Verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another. Be extravagant, be generous, go out of your way towards each other. So you can't live like this until you present your bodies as what? Verse 11, not lagging in diligence, but keep your spiritual fervor. Don't give up the fight. I heard someone say, there are many people in church that have not given up the faith, but they've given up the fight. So don't give up the fight. Don't lack spiritual fervor for God. Get into God's presence. Get consumed by God. Spend time with him. Even if you don't feel like it, invest in that relationship with God. Only by doing that can we live truly as living sacrifices. Don't grow weak. Don't get complacent. Don't get bored. Don't just say, well, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to turn up. I'm just going to have a face, you know, just like someone squeezed a lemon in it and just scowl. Don't be like that. Be open, be generous, be happy, be joyful, be spirit-filled and spirit-led. Because that's what you've been born again for. To love one another, serve one another, esteem one another, bless one another, build the kingdom of God, build for God's purposes. Build what he wants. Build what's important to him. And verse 21, it says there, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, don't get so overwhelmed by what you see going on around you. You know, that's temporary. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, again, you can't live, if you've been struggling to live like that, then maybe it's because maybe you have one foot in one camp, one foot in the other. Maybe you've never really thought about what it means to give your life as a living sacrifice. Or present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. Attack the world with a different spirit to that it attacks you. People will come against you with hatred. People will come against you with accusation. People will come against you with this and this and what and what and what. You know, we've been filled with the capacity of God's love. And so we overcome evil by good, by living as, or presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, full and anointed of the Holy Spirit, in connection with him, no inferiority complex. Wow, I'm full of God. I'm anointed of God. I've the blessing of God. I'm walking with God. I have the mind of Christ. I have the victory of Jesus. Wow. How amazing it will be to have an army of people. You know, the disciples were accused of turning the world upside down, and there are only 11 of those. You're dangerous people. You're turning the world upside down. Why? Because they were full. They were empowered. They were just flowing in the spirit. They were dedicated. They were laying their lives down for the cause of the kingdom and to serve God. And that's the power. And I want just to just finish with this. Please, it's terrorist, the preacher's kind of refrain, isn't it? I just want to finish with this. I'm trying to finish. I'm trying to wrap it up. Truly, the gospel that we've been given is worth giving everything for. Because if it's not, let's just pack up and go to the car boot sale that's down the road, and let's just go and do something else. Because time is too short and life is too precious for us to mess about. And because if this isn't the real deal, then let's just forget it. But there is no other God, is there? He is the true and the living way. He is the only one God who is alive. Jesus, risen from the dead. He is the only one. So if that is true, let's give out everything. There are many great causes and many great things that people are giving their lives to, like this man. He's an amazing guy, what he was doing. But I was amazed by his passion and his commitment. And I was thinking, yeah, you've given up everything, and it's not even for something that is Christian. Because, yeah, you can bring those young people so far, But if you're not introducing them to Jesus, what profit is it if a man gains the whole world but loses his soul? And the gospel is the link that connects people to the eternal life. And you have the key. Do you realize that? You and I have the key. God's commissioned us. He's called us. He's enabled us. And there's an amazing calling upon your life. It is worth it. It is worth it. I don't know if I'm in any way conveying or connecting with anybody here. Are you? You are God's answer. You may not feel like it, and I don't care if you don't feel like it. It's a question of you actually taking up the mantle that God has given to his church. Because unless we take up the mantle and say, actually, I realize actually that God has called me to live like this for a purpose, to be fruitful, we will just continue to be sitting in church, doing the same things, thinking the same way, and not seeing God touch and transform precious lives of people that are dying out there. So let's close our eyes today. Let's just close our eyes just as we finish. And I just want to ask you, how are you living today? Are you living to reproduce the life of Jesus? Are you living today in the fullness of the revelation of what God says is ours in Christ? Have you grown weary today? Have you given up fighting? Not given up on God, but have you lost your way somehow? Maybe through disappointments, maybe through hurts. Are you living as a living sacrifice surrendered to God? Are you struggling with leading with a double mind? Because I think God today just wants to give us an opportunity to respond to him. And it's simple, you know. God is so complex, so intricate, yet it's so amazing that he makes it so simple and accessible to us. And it's so simple. All God is saying is, says, make me number one in your life. Will you make me number one in your life again?